Morning.
Morning.
Welcome to church this morning. My name's Brigham. I have been a member here for about 3.5 years. Everyone is invited to stay following this worship service for fellowship, conversation, and refreshments in our fellowship hall, the Kate Worker Room, just through these doors behind me. If you're a newcomer here this morning, we extend to you a special welcome and invite you to fill out one of our visitor cards found in the back of your hymnal and put it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. We'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at the church. Each week, the worship service is unique, and we invite you to attend a few Sundays to get a feel for what to expect. Today is our monthly intergenerational service. All children and youth are invited to sit with their families during today's worship. People of all ages are welcome to come forward and take pipe cleaners, coloring sheets, and other items from our spirit chair.
To your right.
To spirit chair.
Spirit chair.
I felt that spirit from there. As always, on intergenerational Sundays, we accept movement and a little bit of noise as part of our experience of radical community. Not that much noise. No, that's fine. We do have a professionally staffed nursery for infants and young children. Adults are encouraged to attend the adult religious education programming at 11:50. If you'd like to learn more about this church and about Unitarian Universalism, there is an information rack in our fellowship hall where there are pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitor information that you're certainly welcome to take home with you. Of course, we encourage you to speak with members to learn more and encourage current members to seek out visitors and share with them this beloved community. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. And now I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you don't know yet. Fantastic, fantastic community. Now I have a couple of announcements to read. The first is that the youth group meeting will be canceled after this service since Sayer is sick. And the second one is about the Oasis Women's Center Christmas family. The RE program leads the church in sponsoring the Oasis Women's Center by sponsoring a family for Christmas. The center provides housing for women and children who are the victims of domestic violence. We'll sponsor one family this year. That means 5 total items per family with a value of less than $30 for each item. There's a sign-up board in the Kate Worker Fellowship Hall. Gifts will need to be returned before Sunday, December 14th.
Morning.
Good morning.
My name is Reverend Sunshine Jeremiah Wolf. I am the interim minister here at the First Unitarian Church of Alton. I will be serving here for the next 2 years. Inshallah, and the creek don't rise. Inshallah, God willing, and the creek don't rise. We have a couple of announcements. One, at 11:50 here in the Kate Worker Room, we will have a safety presentation. This is to talk about what to do in the event of an emergency here at the church. So if we were to have, God forbid, an active shooter situation, or someone have an illness or something critical, do you know what to do? And if you do not, come at 11:50 and find out. We also have some sad news this week. As some of you may know, Jim Elliott passed away on Tuesday. My understanding from Phyllis is that it was peaceful and that he was resting at the time. There will be a reception here next Saturday following his memorial service, which will be at 10:30 in the morning. There is a sheet in the worker room where you can sign up to bring appetizers, small sandwiches, or cookies for the reception. Since Jim was a vegetarian, we are asking for all contributions to be vegetarian. I'd like to encourage even those who didn't know Jim to attend the memorial service. It's necessary to recognize that our community stretches from the past to the present and into the future, and honor those who have kept the doors open and the chalice burning for the greater good. And speaking with Kleber about Jim, he liked to mention the fact that Jim was quite outspoken and loved to question things. And certainly that spirit lives on in this congregation, and I certainly hope will continue on into the future. One final thing is, in the next few weeks, we will have a number of worship services that are pre-scheduled. But once the indictment decision is handed down, we will likely change our worship service to a Ferguson-themed service. So be aware of that in the coming weeks. Thank you.
We begin our service this morning with a prelude. Come into the circle of love and justice. Come into the community of mercy, holiness, and health. Come and you shall know peace and joy.
I'm going to invite Juliet and Brigham to join me up front. This morning our chalice will be litten. Hi, I'm from Indiana. Will be lit by Maura Kirk, and I invite you to join me in the hand motions. I'm going to say them, and then they're going to repeat it, and you're going to do it with them. You got it? Okay, I know it's Sunday and it's early. Let's try that. You got it?
Got it.
There we go. You're getting used to me by now, I hope. I like response. All right. So, we light this chalice.
We light this chalice.
Symbol of Unitarian Universalism.
Symbol of
May it remind us of the divine spark.
May it remind us of the divine spark.
In all of creation.
In all of creation.
The power of love to heal what is broken.
The power of love to heal what is broken.
And to be grateful for life's blessings each day.
And to be grateful for life's blessings each day.
I invite you now to rise as your spirits and bodies allow and join in singing hymn number 1010, which is up here. We give thanks.
We give thanks. Come together, we are the Lord.
seated. The words of Jacob Trapp. Simply to be, and to let things be as they speak wordlessly from the mystery of what they are. Simply to say a silent yes to the hillside flowers, to the trees we walk under. To pass from one person to another a morsel of bread, an answering yes. This is the simplest, the quietest of sacraments. At this time, we invite those who would like to briefly share the source of the bread that they brought today. We invite them to come forward to the microphone and share its history.
Good morning. My name's Jennifer Timpey. My mom always bakes these for our holiday family get-togethers, and I started baking them for a bread service a few years ago when we started coming. And every year I'm like, well, it's not quite right. I have to change this, and next year it'll be better. And then last year I had an accident and there was too much butter in them, which actually was really awesome. So now they're almost right. I just have to get the temperature right in the oven because the color's a little funky, but they taste really good.
The holiday seasons aren't the holiday seasons without Aunt Sabrina's pumpkin bread. My Aunt Sabrina started making this when she was about 70, after she returned to her little town in Missouri where she was raised, and she made it for the next 25 years. Before her passing in the age of 96, she would start making it around Thanksgiving. She would distribute it at Thanksgiving dinner to all the relatives who were there. She would distribute it to people in her mobile home park. She would distribute it to friends. And then she would start over before Christmas and fill her freezer again with pumpkin bread.
Hello, my name's John Jeffrey. They call me JJ. My aunts and uncles at Deerberg's made this. And my wife doesn't like to cook, and I don't cook. She didn't even like the microwave. It takes too long. So anyway. Hope you enjoy it. We enjoy this bread, and just decided to share it with you.
Okay, so I'm Allison. I brought beer bread because I could never remember to put the yeast out and let it rise the night before, but with beer bread, you just pour it in, and there's yeast. It's great. Okay.
Hi, I'm Sabrina. I typically have Ed make bread, and we forgot all about it, even though I talked about it this week. So I made biscuits, and they're delicious.
Hi, I'm Mary Weber, and I forgot about it too, but luckily I had this in the freezer. This is one of my favorite recipes, though, banana bread. It's almost like a cake, actually, and it's a great use of overly ripe bananas. But one word of caution, just in case it doesn't have nuts in it, just in case anybody's allergic.
I'm Mona Hebert. About 11 years ago, I was diagnosed with celiac, which means I can't eat anything made out of wheat, rye, or barley, which 11 years ago made it very difficult to find anything. There was nothing in the stores. Everything had to be made from scratch. Hardly anybody knew about it, the disease. Through the past 11 years, things have gotten a lot better. Deerberg's has a devoted aisle to gluten-free products. Schnucks has it kind of intermixed through their regular products. And Aldi's has started their own brand of gluten-free items, including bread. When I first started bringing gluten-free bread to the Thanksgiving bread service, it was very, very, very dry. It is gotten increasingly better throughout the year, and today was actually the first time Paul and I said, hey, that smells good. First time. So anyways, we have gluten-free cornbread.
I invite those who maybe brought bread but didn't want to share a story to bring yours forth now. Thank you very much. We will bless our bread here in a few moments. I want to offer our gratitude to those who provided for us this morning.
I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any gratitude or celebrations you bring with you to the church this morning. There'll be time to share concerns and sorrows in a few moments.
My name is Alex Heft. Some of you might recognize me, some of you don't. I'm Ken and Joy Heft's son, Mary and Jerry Johnson's grandson, away at college. I'm back early. I've got a few small joys to share. One of which, I've lost a little weight recently, about the weight of an appendix. Doing well at that. I've got a little more room for Thanksgiving. That's great. So, and I get to be home early and hang out with the family and all you guys for a little while.
Hi, I'm Spiral Blanton, and I think this falls more in the category of milestone. There used to be like joys and milestones. Anyway, this whole year marks the 15th anniversary of one of the most momentous years in my life, and in November in particular, it marks the anniversary of a couple of different things. I was very involved in a lot of activism for environmental and social justice in the Northwest in 1999. And November marks the conclusion of a campaign most of you probably never heard of to stop the I-90 land exchange in Washington, which was a big public-private land swap, and we were mostly successful in protecting areas through a long campaign that involved non-traditional alliances between a lot of groups that you normally wouldn't think of as working together, and it transcended political affiliations and lots of different strategies and tactics. And the other thing in November, I'm thinking a lot about right now, is this is the 15th anniversary of the World Trade Organization protests in 1999 in Seattle that successfully shut down the ministerial that was happening at that time. The World Trade Organization still exists, of course, and there's been a lot of activism and efforts since then trying to stop the worst aspects of trade without protecting worker and environmental rights around the world. But either of these things, I have lots of stories, and I like to tell them, so feel free to talk to me.
Hi, I'm Sabrina. I just wanted to express a joy that we pulled it together yesterday, thanks to many people in this community that helped with the Andy's Thanksgiving lunch, and that was in lieu of our fourth Saturday lunch. And apparently, and thanks for Lucy for pointing it out that it was written up in the paper. I want to thank everybody that participated, donated, or anything. It was very successful. We fed, I think it was 150, what was it, 150 people donated a lot of personal care items. And so thank you, everybody, for doing your thing. So.
I lost 3 teeth since the last time I spoke.
I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any sorrows or concerns you bring with you to church this morning.
I usually wait and do this at second service, but because it's Bread Sunday, it feels like sharing it now. Most of you know that we're from Ferguson, we live in Ferguson, and while on the one hand a lot of magnificent community organizing and activism is going on there, the situation in our town still presents a concern, so keep us in your thoughts, please.
Each year on November 20th, the international communities that support trans folks take some time out to remember those who have been killed in the last year because they are transgender. These are only the ones that we can confirm are transgender violence, and in the past year there were 218 murders throughout the world. And like I said, those are only ones we can confirm. Of course, there are many more than that, and of course there's daily violence. And so my annual sorrow this particular week is remembering those who have been lost and those who have experienced the threat of violence because of who they are. Also, I keep in mind this particular week, and we'll talk about it more in the service, but sorrow for indigenous peoples who are often the backbone on which Thanksgiving is founded and often do not receive the support that they need to live in the world.
May the gratitude and celebrations among us this day become a blessing to all, and may the concerns and sorrows of each be carried in all our hearts, a burden shared become a load lightened.
I invite you now into a time of meditation, prayer, or contemplation as is your own personal spiritual practice. I invite you to get comfortable in your chair. Become aware of your body and the world around you. I invite you to take note if you're feeling tired or energetic, if you're antsy and wanting to move around, or relieved to just be sitting still. I invite you to take a deep breath in slowly and out. This time, as you take a deep breath in, I want you to focus on pushing your belly out, in and out. And now so your neighbor can hear you, in and out. We offer gratitude this day for the people around us, for the gift of life and all that is sacred to us. We offer gratitude this day for the blessing of family and friends, even and perhaps most especially when they annoy us. We offer gratitude for the bounty of food for those who have it, and we offer our sorrow and our blessing to those who will be hungry this Thanksgiving. In a world mired by violence and fear-mongering, we dare to say yes to life, and to offer gratitude in the face of all the struggles that exist. In the words, "Oh, give us this most amazing day. Oh, give us this most amazing day of light rain, of warmth after a cold week, blessings of community, and hope. We offer extra blessings to those in Ferguson and those impacted by the violence against people of color. And we offer ourselves in humbleness and grace to learn more about the experiences of those who experience violence for being who they are. And on this day, we offer an extra blessing to this food, to this bread, to the gifts and bounty of this community made real in the form of sustenance. May we remember as we eat this bread today that we sustain one another in spirit, mind, heart, and body as well. That through our presence, through our commitment,
our honesty, from those who are the youngest among us to the oldest among us. We sustain one another. May we be blessed, and may we bless this bread. I invite you now into a moment of silent meditation, prayer, or contemplation. As we come back into this space, I invite you to take a deep breath in and out. I invite you to wiggle your nose. You wiggling your noses? Some of you are. I invite you to do jazz hands. Meditation is not just about being serious. It's about being present in your body. And so as you're wiggling your nose or doing jazz hands, be aware of your body. It was made to move. The bread that we eat today is meant to help us be active in the world. And so I invite you to wiggle a little. Maybe stretch if you need to. Good stretch is good for the soul. To be in your body as it is now. I know many of you are experiencing pain, an illness. It's important to remember that our body is our home, our vehicle on this amazing earth. May it be so. Now we're going to really do some moving. Some of you may remember a moving meditation that we did when I first arrived. And so I'm going to show you the actions, and then we're going to do the song. All right, and so it goes like this. From you I receive, from you I receive, to you I give, to you I give. Together we share, and you'll take the hands of whoever. Together we share, and from this we live. And as always, some people do not like to take hands, or they are sick, or it is against their religious values to do so. So if you come across someone who's like, I don't want to take hands, you just put hands up like this. Together we share. Together we share. And from this we live. Okay? So now I am going to have us sing it through once. Okay? Spirits and bodies allow, and find someone you either don't know or did not come to church with today. And be aware of those who may not be able to physically get up and go to them, please. I see a couple of folks without people, so if you don't have someone, look around. I see... Is the microphone on? I see a couple of folks without people, so if you don't have someone, look around. I see someone over here. And you can also do threes. Do an intro. Find another person.
It's okay to leave your pews. Another person. It needs to be somebody you haven't already done this with. Phil? And be aware of those who are not physically able to move. Look for people, make sure everyone's got someone. One last time, find one last person. You know what I'm loving most are all these smiles.
As we gather today's collection, may we consider, as I'm going to start again, you guys were misbehaving. As we gather today's collection, may we consider it an act of thanksgiving. We give of our money not as obligation, but as a blessing with gratitude for the gifts of the people here gathered, of this beautiful building, and the future. So we give in thanksgiving as we're able to support our collected hearts, minds, and hands. This morning's offering will be gratefully received. May it be joyfully given.
Now for a story. I warn you now, today's story is a little bit heavy. I promise we will get to a good place.
But I want to share this story, one, because the artwork, as you can see, is just gorgeous. It's amazing artwork. And also because I think the story is an important one. The rabbits came many grandparents ago. At first, we didn't know what to think. They looked a bit like us. There weren't many of them, and some were friendly. But our old people warned us, be careful. They won't understand the right ways. They only know their own country. More rabbits came. They came by water. They didn't live in the trees like we did. They made their own houses, and we couldn't understand the way they talked. They brought new food, and they brought other animals. We liked some of the food, and we liked some of the animals. But some of the food made us sick, and some of the animals scared us. The rabbits spread across the country. No mountain could stop them. No desert, no river. Still, more of them came. Sometimes we had fights, but there were too many rabbits. We lost the fights. They ate our grass. They chopped down our trees, and they scared away our friends. And stole our children. Rabbits, 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 millions and millions of rabbits. Everywhere we look, there are rabbits. The land is bare and brown, and the wind blows empty across the plains. Where is the rich, dark earth, brown and moist? Where is the smell of rain dripping from gum trees? Where are the great billabongs, alive with long-legged birds? Who will save us from the rabbits? You don't have to be quiet anymore. Is this microphone on? Yeah? Okay. Heavy story, huh? How many folks know that story? Really? You don't know this story? Maybe not this story, but do you know the general story? Ah, there we go. The general story, yes. So this is a story that is read to children in kindergarten all throughout Australia. It is an allegory for a real-time experience. And so as you're thinking about this, and thinking about this week, my question for you is, why do we celebrate Thanksgiving? Somebody tell me that one. Why do we celebrate Thanksgiving?
Many things to be thankful for.
Survival of the winter, many things to be thankful for. The Puritans and the Indians were supposed to have helped each other, right? Yeah. Because Abraham Lincoln invented it. Interesting, very close to true, but almost, there's one part, which is Thanksgiving existed in Europe before it existed here. And in the United States, each of the individual states celebrated Thanksgiving on a day of their choosing. And one year there might be one Thanksgiving, on another year there might be six. But it was always individual to the state. And then Abraham Lincoln, as Ed pointed out, made it a national holiday. And it was still movable, though. It could be on different days of the year. Now remember, this is at a time when people kind of operated on their own time. You know, one city had a clock that said noon, and another city had a clock that said two. You know, we weren't exactly always on the same page. So it was something that was announced to celebrate and to be grateful. And it really was what we tend to think of this holiday as. Now, the story of the Puritans and the Indians has some truth in history, but really has nothing to do with this holiday. Anybody know when it started to become part of Thanksgiving? 1880s. And it was a way to help this country nationalize and help people have a sense of identity as Americans, as United States citizens, so that they would feel prepared to go to war with Mexico. Here's my thing about this holiday and about all the many things that we struggle with. Both of those things can be true. We can celebrate this Thanksgiving holiday. We can live into it and have it be a thing of wonderment and gratitude. And at the same time, we need to know our history. We need to know how it was created and what we've been teaching. The struggle for me is that during this particular week, I in elementary school, along with, you know, every person who's gone through U.S. schools, learns the story of the Indians and the Pilgrims. And they study how Indians live. And they study how Indians lived 200 years ago as if it's still true today. As an indigenous person, I got to tell you, I don't go sitting and hanging out by fire pits and hunting animals and wearing feathers. First off, feathers are for war, and I'm kind of a peace-minded person. I don't wear face paint because I'm not going out to hunt or engaging in a lot of rituals, those kinds of things. And yet I am still a Native American living here on this earth today. We gotta change the stories we tell to authenticity and truth. I think this is especially important as those of us who live in the St. Louis area are dealing with the story of Ferguson. How easy it is to forget that not 100 years ago, white folks rioted in East St. Louis and threw hundreds of African Americans dead into the river and destroyed their towns and their businesses and forced them to move out of East St. Louis and into St. Louis. And then there were more riots and more fighting. And was a single white person arrested? And so the African American community riots. And is anyone arrested? Is anyone really dead other than Michael Brown? The thing is, the African American community here knows that history, just as Native Americans know the history of Thanksgiving. What we need is everyone to know that story. to know where we come from and to not let those things be hidden, and to make sure our children sitting right here with us today know the truth of their lives, know the truth of what they're a part of. Somebody said, don't you think today will be a little morbid for children? I said, the kids can handle it fine. It's the adults that I worry about. Kids deal with far worse stories in Disney, okay? They know how to handle it. We teach them well. It's we adults that really have to wrestle with these stories. And so today, as we engage in communion, for those of you who are new to our congregation or to Unitarian Universalism, there's a tense relationship with that word communion. We have a lot of folks who were raised in Christian traditions, who were hurt by Christian traditions. And so any mention of words relating to a kind of Christian concept in the world can really burn a little bit, can feel dangerous and potentially hurtful. But just as Unitarian Universalists, we like to, you know, say, you know what? We're making the words our own. We are claiming them. And communion is just about that. It's about being in community. And that's one of the things this congregation does wonderfully well. You know how I know? Because even though you thought I was crazy for making you get up and do hand motions, you loved being around each other and you all were smiling. You like each other. We like being together in community. And so this bread communion can mean all that crappy, painful stuff, or it can mean what it has always meant for thousands of years and long before even Christianity came along, that communion is about being in community and sustaining one another. We have long eaten meals together, and this is just another one of those times when we bless the food by our hands and our hearts and our presence and share with each other the goodness of community. So my message to you to this day is let life be complex, okay? Tell the story of what actually happened to Native Americans. Let it be both a holiday of thanksgiving and a holiday of thanksgiving and celebrating the many gifts that we have. I implore you, don't go shopping that day. Stay home, be with your families, celebrate in gratitude, and tell the honest truth. Because telling the honest, hard truths does not mean we can't party like it's 1999. Let's be clear. We can celebrate and still live into the truth of our worlds. And so at this time, we will have our bread communion, which is a little different than it has been in past years. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to invite everyone to come up. Don't do it yet. Up this aisle. And I'm going to actually have Juliet help me out. Come up this aisle. You can just walk there. You don't need to go around. I'm your boss, but I'm not that mean, I hope. Okay, so you come up the aisle, you go to the table, do it in an angle so folks can see. All right, we have our gluten-free, and I invite those who are not gluten-free to leave this for those who are. If there's any left over, you can try the wonderful cornbread afterwards. And there's also this. And so you come up to the table, say this, from you I receive,
I
to you I give.
To you I give.
Say, from you I receive.
From you I receive.
To you I give. That is a very big bite. Okay, go ahead and try and take a bite of it. Okay, now take the plate. And I'll say, from you I receive.
To you I give.
Okay. I'm going to take a small piece. Got it? I invite you to come forward, and we will be singing songs and chanting together as the bread comes forward. Please forgive me for chewing with my mouth full. Just go. Oh.
You mean you need directions? Please give over your hand.
Oh, we give thanks for this precious day. Give thanks for this precious day.
love and care.